So, Hare Krishna, I wish you a very, very good morning. Jai Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Shyam Sundar ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. I want to greet all of you affectionately and I think today you will not forget for a reason that cannot be revealed at this moment. Oh. My dear devotees, we are discussing the first level of smaranam. Rupa Goswami distinguishes between two levels, jiva between five. Rupa Goswami speaks of smriti, simply remembrance, and dhyana, meditation. No? So we are in the simple remembrance category, and our premise is, if we start in whatever way it is possible for us to remember anything about Krishna, his name, his form, his qualities and pastimes and his associates. If we can enter the art of remembrance, we will soon arrive in the ocean of meditation. No, but we have to enter somewhere, and this is about entering, and so on. So we have heard that the essence of the entire Vedic scriptures is the Gita, and the essence of the Gita again is this verse Manmana Bhava Matpato, which is strategically posted in the very center of the work, ninth chapter, verse 34, I believe, and then repeated so that we know how important this is. It's the Paribhasita Sutra of the whole work, again in the 18th chapter. Let us quote one very nice verse about remembrance from the Gopaltapani Upanishad, Uttarakhanda 4:7. By remembering me, a shallow person becomes deep. By remembering me, an impure person becomes pure. By remembering me, an impious person becomes. By remembering me, one full of material desires becomes desireless. It sometimes also says, by remembering me, one who has no more material, no more desires, develops desires to serve me. So that is for the impersonalists. So for the simple materialists, who are full of material desires, they become desireless by remembering Krishna. By the Brahmavadis, the realized souls, who have given up all types of desires, they develop all of a sudden desires to serve Krishna. And by remembering me, a fool becomes learned. We are just coming into the lecture, and yesterday was a pause, I would like to speak about the, give you a quotation from Prabhupada, who says how important these to remember the transcendental pastimes of Krishna is. In the 90th chapter of the Krishna book, he says, the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna are so powerful that simply by hearing, reading, and memorizing this book, Krishna, it's the Krishna book, simply by hearing, reading, and memorizing this book, Krishna, one is sure to be transferred to the spiritual world. So he says, we should hear it, we should read it, and memorize. It seems to be important. So let us hear, just to warm us a little up to the pastimes of Krishna, a nice pastime, a kind of prankish pastime again. Prank means it has a joyful, humorous note to it. Yes. And then perhaps when we do the meditation, let's see, some of you might like to go there. Sometimes, my dear devotees, in the transcendental reality, Radha becomes so upset with Krishna and his ever creative, joyful dealings, that he goes into man, that means a loving anger. You must know that in the spiritual world, to be upset means to be simply full of love. It is different than here. So her anger is not at all a rejection of Krishna, because only outside she says no, and inside she says, please come. Yes. And so, once her man, loving anger, was huge like the Meru mountain and unbreakable. So Krishna needed to come up with a very, very powerful way to break that mountain. So what he did is he dressed up. He dressed up as a lady. Sometimes Krishna dresses up as the daughter of a barber. Barber means who do the hair and the feet, the nails. But this time Krishna dressed up as a female singer. Can you imagine how beautiful Krishna must have looked? It was not possible to distinguish by looking Krishna dressed up as, and dressed up means he put flowers on his chest, so it was really resembling a lady's chest. No? He adopted a cuckoo voice. It's very sweet. Cuckoo. Very, very sweet. And he had jingling anchor bells as he moved. It was very beautiful. It was like an orchestra. He looked so much like a she that it was not distinguishable. With Kundalata, his niece, who knew that this was the most beautiful female appearance, and came to Jyotila's house, the mother-in-law, where Radharani felt imprisoned by a false marriage. So Radha was there in an angry huff. All of a sudden, she sees the most beautiful lady very shyly entering, and next to her, a known person, Kundalata. She asks, "O Kundalatike," that's the address, "O Kundalatike, who did you bring with you? Listen carefully, O Radha. She is a singer who was personally trained by Brihaspati, the guru of the demigods. How so? Well, when Brihaspati came from the higher planets to Mathura, he performed a huge yagya and sang a very complex composition. As he was about to leave, this girl stood up and sang the same composition which Brihaspati had just recited in an extremely beautiful way, that Brihaspati said, "Wow!" He He must have said something in Sanskrit to the effect of, wow. and took her with him to the heavenly planets to give her further training. And she has just come yesterday from the heavenly planets to sing. Imagine with such accolades, I mean, praises, trained by Brihaspati in heavens. Radhika thought, oh, she must be accomplished in the art of singing. But outwardly, she said, can we hear an example of your friend's singing quality? Certainly, oh beautiful Radha, said Kundalata. Now you must know that Radha is known as Veena Vadana Sangita. She who is expert in playing the Veena and expert in the art of singing. Expert means so much expert that her name is also Gandharvika. The Gandharvika means a heavenly lady who is a singer, a Gandhava. Very, very, very good singer. So Krishna addressed Radha in a very different voice. He said, oh beautiful Radha, what song would you like me to sing? And in which tune? So Radha said, most probably you cannot sing the Shuddha pitch, it's a technical way, because of bile. I think what you can sing is the Veena pitch. Sing in this tonality. She is Kalavali. Okay, Kala means art of Vali, expert in the art of singing. So immediately Krishna as Kalavali began to sing just an introductory musical presentation that was so beautiful that all the sakis began to cry tears of ecstasy. This is what Krishna is saying. Tanana, tanana, nari. Wow, the Sakhi said, I mean, it was much more beautiful, and began to cry in ecstasy. Tears as big as pearls rolled from their beautiful eyes moistened the ground, and Srimati Radharani's maan, which was as hard as a diamond, maan, loving anger, began to melt away just by hearing this ta-na-na-na, ta-na-na-na-ri. It's not yet the music, it's just getting into the singing, you know, oiling the voice, you know, and so on. Was ready. Already during the singing, Radha began to reflect. There's no one and nothing in all the three worlds and beyond that can melt my heart. It is only one person who can evoke my loving attraction, and that is, yes, you know everything. So thinking like this, she said, I should not give, when the singing was over, I want to reward this girl, Kalavali, but I do not think I should give her a gold medal or anything like this. I will give her one of my own blouses, you know, it's what the ladies dress. And inside she smiled, and outside she looked very normal. Oh, Rupa Manjari, please dress her right in front of me and all the sakis. Take away the old blouse and dress her in the new clothes with amazing ornaments. So Kundalata, who was the niece of Krishna on Krishna's side, and who know who's behind this beautiful dress, said, oh, that's unfortunately not possible, because Kundavali is extremely shy. Radharani said, that's a good quality, but it is not necessary in the assembly of ladies. When we women are together, then we are amongst ourselves. When there is a male person, that is something else. She knew who was the doer. She wanted to punish Krishna. So immediately, two sakis came forward and held Kundavali, one on the left side, one on the right side, and opened her blouse. And immediately two Kadamba flowers fell on the ground, and Krishna's trick was given away, and Krishna became very angry. These clever sakis, this is too much. He immediately covered himself and went right to Jatila. Jatila is the mother-in-law, and she's always very so stern with Radhika, and complained, your daughter-in-law, you know there's always quarrel also between the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law. Yes, you know. No, yes, middle, especially in Gujarati families. I have heard. So Krishna said, I'm the daughter of Kirtida's sister. Kirtida is mother of Radharani. And then Radha is what? Cousin, female cousin, no? So Radha is totally ignoring me and is unkind to me, although I'm the sister, the daughter of the sister of her mother. This is not right, Jatila. Please set this right. Teach your daughter-in-law behavior. So Jatila, who's always ready for correcting Radha, went straight to Radha. Radha, you must be kind to your cousin. You must now go with her alone in your room. Krishna. And they, the divine couple, disappeared in the room, and Radha had tears of joy. How clever Krishna had arranged a rendezvous right in the house of Jyotila, right in the middle of everything, to just have another aspect of his joyful and sweet nature fulfilled. And the rest is a lila which we conditioned souls approach with folded hands from the distance. Yes, so this is the sweetness of Radha and Krishna. And to remember this, what better things is to there to remember than this, my dear devotees? And the transcendental pastimes have when they are heard, read, and memorized. So much power, they purify our internal space so that we can become pure and Krishna conscious. Today we have to jump over one quality, one ocean of Krishna, Gambira Jaladi. Krishna is an ocean of gravity, but I will just make mention of it. Rupa Goswami says, at times Krishna can deal with his devotees in a very grave way, and it's difficult for them to understand. Like yesterday we said, sometimes we as devotees need to be patient when we face the silence of God. Krishna may at that time have something in his mind and therefore not respond immediately to a devotee. We know what that could be. He could either want to take the pride away, or more often than not, he wants to increase their eagerness for him. No? Rupa Goswami offers an example. Even though Brahma was worshipping Lord Hari intensely with excellent praise in Vrindavan, Brahma was unable to discern whether Hari was pleased or displeased with his behavior. In this world, people who want to control others make a poker face and look with a poker face. I know one devotee who unfortunately does this very often, to exert control over others. When Krishna does not act in a way that we can know what he has in mind, then it's different. He doesn't do that to control us, but to increase our eagerness and remove our pride. We will not be able to deal with this loving quality in detail because we need to discuss Audarya Jaladi. Krishna is an ocean of benevolence. If you are not an English speaker, you might like to look this word up in your distraction machine, but actually leave the distraction machine because you will go to other pages immediately. So, benevolence means, I only know to be good. Any English speaker who has a good definition of benevolence. Sorry? Unrestrained altruism. That is, just altruism is another word which, you know, to be just very kind to humans. Krishna is very kind, unrestrained kind. It's very nice with everyone, even the with everyone. And it is this understanding that brings the gopis to on the banks of the river Yamuna in the moonlit night to sing a song where they request Krishna to not remain separate from them any longer. They do not understand his deep motivation because he's Gambirya Jaladi, an ocean of gravity. They just want his association, and they sing this wonderful song where we want to which we want to sing now as a as our preparation to deal with Krishna's benevolence, his kindness that extends without limits to us. Please, my dear devotees, get your sheet of paper ready, your Gopi Gita, and we start with verse 9 and we go up to verse 13. It's a wonderful first verse, which many of you know by heart. We will sing all together. By now we know the melody. Tavakatam ritam tapta beautiful. This somehow this carries the tears of the gopis who were called by Krishna for the rasa dance, and then they were left alone, and they now Krishna explains later that he wants to increase the the love, really, of his devotees. They say, if you please go to verse 9, then you can read along with me this very famous verse: "The nectar of your words." No, I thought to read it alone, but you can follow it with your eyes. "The nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. These narrations transmitted by learned sages eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly, those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent or benevolent." You know. So Krishna appears. There is a famous verse in a human-like form. It is human-like. It is. There's many qualities which we humans don't have. An ocean of qualities. In order to spread this, to give us in this world his powerful pastimes, that if we discuss them, they have the power, as Srila Prabhupada says, to bring us, transport us in the spiritual world. They are like vimanas, these subjects, transcendental airplanes that have come from another realm and bring us back. This is how powerful they are. If we can remember them and discuss about them. The gopis, they know this power, and therefore they are talking about it. But the way they talk about it, the way they talk about meditation about them is just amazing and very, very deep. If you wish to understand this song in a deeper way than just, I highly recommend this work, Bhagavata Subodhini by Gauranga Darshan, who is a real professor in the Bhagavatam. It's that devotee who will come here in February and with whom we will give this seminar or this retreat, Approaching the Ultimate Shelter. It was a very, very spiritually powerful and interesting seminar or retreat. So anyways, this one verse spoke about the blessings that come, and we want to talk about this ocean of Krishna's benevolence. No? This is kindness without restriction. Rupa Goswami gives a definition of what is benevolence, and you please be a little attentive now, because we will be expected in our spiritual life to be also kind and good to others. It is therefore important to know what the spiritual definition is. Here, this is what he says: a person who profusely gives in charity is called magnanimous. Vadanya. So it is giving something. Now, charity is understood in our terms, in our modern language, as just things and money, for instance, but it is also in the old times other things like attention and kindness. But the example here is Krishna was so magnanimous, so giving, that he would give from each of his 16,108 palaces cows in charity, and the number was 13,054 cows each day from times 16,108. We are not very good in mathematics because we are a runaway from school. Yes, but he gave this amounts to 208 million cows, which he gave daily. You must admit his supply was spiritual, no? Unexhaustible. That's unexhaustible supply. Even Nanda Maharaj gave, he was in the habit, every morning he opened the palace doors in Nandagram and gave charity to the beggars. And he gave a container in which he put milk, I don't know, milk or what he gave exactly, I've forgotten, but he gave charity and people could keep the container. And there were many, many of them. So yes. Now, Krishna's audayata or benevolence is most visibly exhibited in the form of his most munificent or benevolent incarnation. You know? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, yes. Because, let me bring this a little later. My dear devotees, when the world was young and apples were still apples, not computers, apple computers, and blueberries were blueberries and not mobile telephones. There was one kind of mobile telephone, it's out of fashion, I understand. We used to communicate in our from temple to temple through telefax. Does any one of you know what is a telefax machine? Oh, very little of you know. You would type something on your end, and then in the place where the telefax was, you would this would become activated and it would type tick 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 tick. The same principle as you type in something in your mobile telephone and then it appears in the mobile telephone of the person you want to him or her to see the message. By the way, the messages are seen by many, not just the person. This is the anyways, so, but here you would type tick 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 tick, and there it would appear tick 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 tick. It would make the sound tick 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 tick, and we would telefax. You know, there was the time when all educated people, even I was learning to type with 10 fingers. Yes, I know. You only know with 2 fingers or 4 fingers on your nose, most probably. As were the old times. Yes, and there was one telefax which came to us and it said, Prabhupada wants all temples urgently to distribute this message. Wow. So there was Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles, and he wanted everyone, we were in Hamburg when it came, to see something. And oops, now we all got together. What does Prabhupada want us to see and take note of that is very urgent? And then the person who took it from the telephone and said, okay, the Prabhus and everyone here, this is what Prabhupada wants us to understand. It was a verse. The verse said, Ye lila amrita vine kaya jadi anapane tabe baktera dubala jivan. Man becomes strong and stout by eating sufficient grains. But the devotees who simply eats ordinary grains but does not taste the transcendental pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Krishna gradually becomes weak and falls down from the transcendental position. However, if one drinks but a drop of the nectar of Krishna's pastimes, his body and mind begin to bloom and he begins to laugh, sing, and dance. So you must understand, he is Prabhupada, he has his disciples, and he constantly hears about disciples leaving the movement, dropping the process of bhakti, and so on and so forth. You know the statistics, Prabhupada had so many, 5,000 plus initiated disciples, of them 280 are still active. Yes, we should not boast too much. So he was concerned. Why are they going away? And he found a solution. In his purport, he underlines it. If you just eat, you will become weak spiritually and fall from the spiritual platform. He says, all the devotees connected with the Krishna consciousness movement must read all the books that have been translated. In brackets, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and others. Oh, I went, oh my God, how shall I do this? I'm so much service. But here he says, they must read all the books. It was on telex. It came out. Otherwise, after some time, they will simply eat, sleep, and fall down. I would say, do politics and fall down from their position. Thus, they will miss the opportunity to attain an eternal, blissful life of transcendental pleasure. I still remember when we heard this, there was silence in the room. And our temple president said, oh, this is what Prabhupada wants. We have to make it possible. We have to arrange the day here in our temple that you have 1 hour of reading time. No? And I still remember it went in. So, because through these transcendental subjects, the Lord has been so kind as to give us a chance, if we hear and speak about them and remember them, to actually become purified from the effects of sins in our consciousness and become attracted to Krishna, and by that attraction we become attached to Krishna, and then they say in German, then the cake is eaten. Then it means everything is hogya. You have done the purpose. When you are attached to Krishna, that's the whole thing. So, Prabhupada, in Juhu, I got this from this excellent book, The Juhu Story. No, I'll Build You a Temple, The Juhu Story. He gave a lecture there about this idea that Krishna comes to distribute the highest nectar. And this is what he said. Fasten your seatbelt. It's very intense what you will hear now. First of all, we cannot understand Krishna. Prabhupada has in mind Avanmanasagochara. This is one name of Krishna. He's beyond the reach of the mind. He's incomprehensible for the mind. So first of all, we cannot understand Krishna. Then where is the question of love for Krishna? If you do not understand somebody, how can you love him? Love is far away. And now he talks about Odaya Jaladi, the ocean of benevolence. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so kind that he is distributing Krishna Prema. Take, anyone, come on. Come on. And he continues, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very practical. Now we will hear how he will distribute the Krishna Prema. In practice, I want to give Krishna prema. One should be ecstatic, emotional in Krishna prema. One should cry for Krishna. So this type of love, where you are emotional. Have you ever been in love? Okay, this is a taboo. Then you are so loving. So much good emotions. Oh, nothing is important any longer. The world is in order. There's no problem. Everything can be done. Such good emotions are there. But when you're more in love, you become actually spiritual love. No, you become so ecstatic that you cry for Krishna. But these tears are tears of the soul who is now finally has found Krishna. And my dear devotees, these tears will wash away the rest of the material contamination. It's a bath in tears. And these tears, Krishna wants to know. He wants to see that you cry for him in loving feelings. And this type of love is given. Now, how does this happen? How will it happen to you? How does Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu give prema? This needs to be, how is he audaya? How is he so kind? This needs to be understood. And it needs to be applied. Listen now as if your life depends on this, spiritual life. A little drama. It happens through the holy name, chanted in the way of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then we can get Krishna prema. Then we can continue to chant with prema and so on. We first chant to get Krishna prema, and then we said, but how do we chant to get Krishna prema? I better, because this is such a big question, quote Prabhupada here, simply addressing the energy of the Supreme Lord as Hari, Radha, no? And the Lord himself as Krishna, very soon situates the Lord within the heart of the devotee. Now this address has to be done from the not yet position. You have to come face to face with where you are at the present moment. And this is humility. This is the and humility, as we know, as we have heard many times, is that feeling of confronting your own lowliness and needfulness, and at the same time, as if it's a juxtaposition of emotions, means an opposite, you have to desire and long, oh Krishna, please take me. This is the Vipralamba mood. Vipralamba means that which is in the distance, alamba is attained. Through this mood of longing. How to, you have to face your situation. I'm sinking down in this ocean of material life. Love of Krishna has not yet come. I'm simply waiting. I see the river of life is going on and soon approaching the ocean of death. But still now I'm sitting here on the bank of the river. I'm not participating in this devotion. It is not yet there, but I long for it. And then, very soon, alambana, it is there. Now, for the end of this, I want to say that not only is Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu extremely munificent and benevolent, it is expected of us also to do something for the suffering humanity. Yaitan mama bhakti shu sampradayat supushkalam tasyaham brahmadayasya dadam yat manam atmana. It's from the 11th canto, 29th chapter, verse 26, and the verse says, one who liberally, remember, liberally, be kind. One who liberally disseminates, means distribute or spreads, this knowledge among my devotees, is the bestower of the absolute truth, and to him I give my very own self. Without preaching, ISKCON will become rubbish. This is not the words of Sachinandan Swami. I would not dare to take these words in my small mouth and then, because this goes out into the world. This is what Prabhupada says. Without preaching, ISKCON will become rubbish. It's a literal quote from him. I have always thought about this. I think there are two things which come in preaching together. You please Krishna because he has manifested these pastimes or this knowledge, the Gita, for the benefit of the souls. But there's also something which happens on the psychological level. When you preach, perhaps at the beginning you will do it like I did it to get seeker points. Yes, we were highly driven missionary movements. You got points and rewards when you shaved someone up. I don't know, seeker points and bhakti points, you know. Hare Krishna. You may do it also. Oh, I know more than you, therefore listen now. But if you don't come to the level where you do it out of compassion for others, you will give it up eventually. You won't be able to take the austerities that it takes when to share spiritual life. And then see, for instance, when you share spiritual life with an intelligent person, you will eventually see the undressed, unhidden false ego of that person getting back on you. It is when you do your work nicely, you will unsettle the person and wake him up from his false dream of material existence, and they will not be kind to you. Why did you? And so on. So then you have to go to the place of compassion. When you want to distribute books in the winter time, then their hands are frozen. You have to do this from a deep spiritual motivation. Otherwise, you can't maintain this. Prabhupada says about this, I was always thinking how I could benefit everyone. He says, as the Bhagavad Gita says, Sarva Bhutanam, unless one has come to this realization, how can he be a representative of God? I never had any national or humanitarian concerns, but concern for all living entities. In San Francisco, Prabhupada said to a big public, this is the movement of the living entity. But I had concern for all living entities. Even at home, as a householder, I was preaching and people were coming. But my family members were upstairs taking tea. I was very angry with them. I told my wife, you either give up tea or lose your husband. She thought I was joking, but I was determined and took sannyas. The family took it as a great shock, but now I'm fully satisfied. It is our good fortune. Now Tama Krishna Maharaj is there, an older Prabhupada disciple who has left us, he said, it is our good fortune that you had this disagreement with your wife and that she chose tea instead of you. Because now we are all saved. Prabhupada does not want to talk about this and says, go and preach and remain active. And when you are old enough, you can go and sit down in Mayapur and simply chant Hare Krishna. Then Tama asked Srila Prabhupada, what does old enough mean? And Srila Prabhupada's answer, that has to be judged by the individual. As for myself, I'm not so old. He's by that time maybe 80 years old, you know. I'm not so old. Prabhupada might have in mind that there are three ages, you know, calendar age, then biological age, how fit are you, fit and healthy, and then you choose your age. Yes, Prabhupada said, sometimes he would say, I'm an old man, sometimes he would say, I'm not so old. So yeah, Auda, Krishna is an ocean of benevolence, and is an ocean of benevolence. So we and the devotees, he expects his devotees to preach also. My dear devotees, see what is in your capability to share in this divine quality of being benevolent. You either see what it is. Is it perhaps inviting a good a devotee friend to your home and serving him with some nice preparations and discussing Krishna consciousness or discussing where the obstacles are and what to do to overcome them and so on and so forth? Or is it to take part in the book distribution marathons in some ways by giving them at your books in your working place to your colleagues? Could it mean whatever it is? But I want to make now a little meditation with you and want to lead you into the yoga of gratitude meditation. We will have to be... How are you? Are you tired? Are you awake? Awake. Good. Maybe just to change the energy a little, let us give a good... good. Sit straight, please. We will do a very slow Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, but very energetic, and we will end with the syllable Ram. Let me do one time alone and then all of us together, and then I lead you into the meditation. Syllable Ram. Ram. Please, much louder. We will go into a simple gratitude meditation. Please take to slow and relaxed breathing. It doesn't need to be very forced, but try to just lengthen your inhale and then lengthen your exhale, and even a little longer than your inhale. The art to unclutter your mind here in this breathing, continue to breathe, is that you attach the mind, or bring the mind, or bind the mind to the ingoing and outgoing breath. In other words, if you breathe in, or out, doesn't matter. Just walk with your breath. Go with your breath. Stay with your breath. And don't think of anything else than just being mindful or aware or conscious of your breath as it goes in and out. Please keep your eyes closed. Now, as you are continuing to breathe, think in your mind's eye of a person or a situation where you can feel gratitude. Perhaps to Krishna. Oh, Krishna is so kind. He is here. He has given me many, many signs. In the Giriraj Govardhan retreat, he was very, very kind to me. Or think of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Or think of your Guru Maharaj, who has been so kind to you. In one hand, he holds your hand, and in the other, a torch of knowledge, and shows the way. Just think of someone or situation where you can feel gratitude. Stay with your mind and meditate. Let a concrete personality appear before your eyes. Krishna, Chaitanya, Guru Maharaj, or a very good friend even. And express in the language of your mind, thoughts in other words, your gratitude to them. Sing one Hare Krishna Ma mantra now together. Keep your eyes closed, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. of us, it will be one mantra. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna. If possible. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Now please open your eyes slowly. Arrive in the present moment.